the Bitcoin treasury, the ETFs, all of that garbage, unless you're some sophisticated insider that understands this game, this is not your playground. Stay away from it.
If they're financing the groceries, probably many of them are living in their parents' basements, wondering when their life is going to start and how they're ever going to get ahead, how they're ever going to afford a home.
When you hold Bitcoin in self-custody, what are you really doing? You're memorizing 24 words. They're going to ban you from being able to memorize words. This is ridiculous.
What they're trying to do here really does not matter because it cannot work. The only hope in hell they have is to convince enough people that this actually works and that they actually have the power to enforce this. They can't.
Hey everyone, welcome to another episode of Bitcoin Banter. I have Tony and Greer here with me. Gents, welcome and thank you for tuning in, everyone. Let's jump into the news. Up first, we have Jim618 warns of a coming Bitcoin collapse. So this is an interesting take that he has. And basically what he is doing is he is tying a potential price crash of Bitcoin to these lending products. So basically people putting up collateral. And what he says here, I'm just going to paraphrase, is that we're going to have some sort of a correction, a drawdown, and a handful of people are going to be margin called. And then they're going to have to sell Bitcoin to post more collateral. And then the price, that's going to put downward price pressure on. More people are going to be margin called because of the downward price pressure. They're going to have to sell for more collateral and so on and so forth. And it goes until we have this massive dip. Greer, I would love to hear your take on this. You're the one who sent me this this take, and I'd be interested to hear what your thoughts are.
There's a non-zero chance that something like this will happen. You know, we've seen all of these companies purchase Bitcoin. We're seeing the lending companies come out of the woodwork. And we're seeing people who are trying to increase their Bitcoin position by doing things that are a little bit risky. So I think this hypothetical scenario is instructive. If you're looking to accumulate Bitcoin, keep some dry powder. Maybe there won't be a crash in the future, but if there is, you want to be able to capitalize on that opportunity. It's much better to buy Bitcoin with money that you have on the side than trying to get ahead in the game by beating out Bitcoin's price using a Bitcoin treasury co. or by taking on debt that has to be paid back, could be at a higher rate, a higher amount of Bitcoin that you have to return. And I think this is like the nightmare scenario if you are leveraged. But if you're someone who has been quietly stacking, you've put a little bit of money aside for some kind of situation like this, then I think the positive spin is, hey, bring it on. I'm going to get Bitcoin on the cheap. And we know that it's going to bounce back in a matter of days, weeks, months.
Yeah, I would add to that, you have to remember that we have a new cohort of quote-unquote Bitcoiners here who are not Bitcoiners who are hodling for life, don't take it self-custody, but they buy the ETFs. And if Bitcoin's price appreciates to a certain point, they might be inclined to sell because they're trying to gain fiat profits with what they're doing, and they see Bitcoin as a mere mechanism for that. And so you could have this cascading effect where maybe they're the impetus for a correction because we hit 150,000 and they say, hey, I've almost doubled my money and I'm going to sell all of that. And, you know, a million of them do it all at the same time. We see that correction and now there's suddenly downward price pressure and all these people who are taking on debt and posting Bitcoin as collateral are in a lot of trouble. Tony, you've been warning against this for a long time. Share what you're thinking.
Yeah, of course, man. You play stupid games, you get tricked. There's no such thing as free money. And if that's what you're doing in order to take a shortcut from zero to 100, well, you know, the market is going to teach you a very harsh lesson. Bitcoin, like I said a million times, it is the simplest, dumbest thing to win at. You buy it, you hold it in self-custody, and you learn how to use it. You don't leverage with money that you don't have in order to get it. The market's not there. You don't buy things that are proxies to Bitcoin because that's just a waste of time and an unnecessary risk. The Bitcoin treasuries, the ETFs, all of that garbage, unless you're some sophisticated insider that understands this game, this is not your playground. Stay away from it. So yes, I mean, people losing their money because of, you know, something going sideways on that front, very, very possible. But again, you know, like these things have to happen for people to learn. And eventually, you know, when they run out of money, they'll have no choice but to start paying attention.
I think that's well said. Alrighty, up next, we have talked a lot the last week or two about the sort of the broken economy, and we've got a couple of stats here. So, well, first of all, one that I think we may have left off, Greer, correct me if I'm wrong, but I think there was a 2.9% CPI print, so inflation is not doing what they want it to do, and that's manipulated already. But here, Kevin Gordon says that the unemployment rate for 16 to 24-year-olds is now 10.5%, so we're in double-digit territory for young people, and Nikki says, I just found out 25% of Gen Z is literally financing groceries with buy now, pay later. This isn't budgeting. It's a scam. Could Bitcoin fix this? So young people in particular, really struggling in this economy. Very sad to see, but unexpected when you look at the sheer volume of money printing that we've seen over the last, 5 years in particular, but certainly since the Nixon shock. Tony, take this one first, man.
Yeah, man, this is not a very pretty picture. This is actually a very dangerous scenario because I've seen it before in Lebanon. When you've got the young crowd with nothing to do, what do you expect them to focus on? Bad news, right? So whether it's shortcuts, whether it's, taking part of gangs, whether it's anything to get out of their situation quickly. And that usually means bad news. And when it's about 15%, that means that's a lot of people. And, that's where you start getting, this is like sort of like the kindling. And all it takes is for one tiny little incident to set it off. And then you've got like a tsunami of social unrest or a big problem to deal with these people. And how what are you going to do with them? In my experience, that's where you had like these neighborhood gangs starting to rise. And those were very dangerous because, they almost always resolved their issues with violence. So there was a lot of killing involved. There was a lot of, the random mugging, stealing, break-ins. All these horrific scenarios that most people think only happen in foreign countries. Well, now these foreign countries are your, your next door neighborhood. This is not good. And how we fix this is, I don't know. Honestly, it's a very tough situation to be in because the money printing is not going to stop. And essentially, this is what contributed to these statistics. There's going to have to be a lot of, education pushed out. Parents are going to have to step up their game in order to keep their kids under control, as hard as that sounds, because they're probably in also a not very comfortable position to begin with. So the attention span may not always be available, but the effort has to be put. Otherwise, once this escalates out of control, there's no putting it back.
Yeah. Tony, you hit on an important point. I think it's sometimes hard to articulate for people why cultural deterioration is a byproduct. It's downstream of the broken money. But when you've got people who are financing their groceries, if they're financing the groceries, probably many of them are living in their parents' basements, wondering when their life is going to start and how they're ever going to get ahead, how they're ever going to afford a home. You can imagine sort of the dark habits and lifestyles that are adopted. And we see, to your point, like on the more serious end, things like gangs, people get desperate. But I think more insidious, the prevalence of just people sitting around playing video games and watching porn and, they don't have anything to fill their time that's productive. And so they look for other things. And then that has an effect on, their well-being. We see this, I don't believe in a lot of the crises that government puts you on, but the mental health crisis to me seems evident. And I think that's a byproduct of all of these, of the hopelessness that leads to bad habits, that leads to these mental health problems that so many people have.
This usually gives rise to drug use. Mm-hmm. Because, yep. What are you going to distract yourself with? You're so depressed that you're almost, your quickest fix is drugs. And when people are on drugs, obviously they're not thinking right. And so that's where you get all that impulsive reaction, which cascades into those dangerous situations. So, yeah. Having to, break up your food bill, man, that's really not pretty.
Right. And I've seen these stats about Gen Z is consuming alcohol at a much lower rate than previous generations. But my sense is that they're replacing it with things that are equally
unhelpful and harmful, whether it's something that they're ingesting or it's just, you know, content they're consuming. Greer, any comments on this?
Yeah, I think we're seeing the compounding effects of AI technology in its early state. Gen Z, you know, this group here, they're looking for their first job in a lot of cases. And those jobs are being replaced by AI, by automations, by new technology. I think the only answer is to develop agency. And this is what needs to be taught in schools. How do you become an individual that can provide a value and a service that the world, that your community needs? So I would say lean into the tools that are developed, that are available, and become an expert in something as quickly as you can and let it fuel your passion. You know, today we have Bitcoin, we have Noster. You can become the Bitcoin whatever, artist, painter, writer, author. To me, this is not something that we need to just let happen, but we need to take an active role in providing solutions that do work. And I think if we give the kids the ability to become their own business, become their own bank, you know, you can now start living outside the rules of the system. So I think this is an opportunity to point people towards something that's actually hopeful. You know, use technology to get ahead. Don't let it be the thing that pulls you down.
Yeah, I think that's well said. And just for anyone listening, find your thing, but the merch with a bird flipping off central banks is already taken. So Greer's got that covered for you. Alrighty, up next, the ever beautiful and benevolent Christine Lagarde. She calls on European governments to rapidly establish the legislative framework for the potential introduction of our digital euro. We love ragging on Christine. She's a real piece of work. But this, to me, so they've been talking about October, sort of a timeline that they're operating on my impression is sort of soft launch this and probably see how much pushback there is. I think it's whether it's October, whether it's, you know, next month or not, it's coming. And Tony, I imagine you would probably agree with that. What do you think that, do you think they're going to get the pushback that we as Bitcoiners are hoping for?
I don't really care, man. These people have now faced real competition for the first time. And the reality is that they don't matter anymore. There is a viable exit to all of their rubbish. And that's Bitcoin in self-custody. So whether they come out with this tomorrow, next month, next year, essentially what they're doing is that they're competing against something that they cannot win against. Their system is based on theft, control, surveillance. Bitcoin is based, you know, is created to empower, enrich, and give back the freedom to 8 billion people. It's not a complicated decision, right? Once people understand what this what the digital euro really is, which is a noose around their neck, they're easily going to want to opt out. So these folks are desperate. There's, you know, tremendous fear. They feel the noose around their necks. They, you know, they're being, you know, essentially rendered obsolete, you know, at an accelerating rate, and they're just desperate. So what happens during desperate times is that a lot of mistakes are made. To begin with, they're not good at what they do. So now put them, you know, in panic mode, trying to come up with something like this. And, you know, God knows what the end result is going to look like. Again, these people do not matter anymore. I say it every single day. The fiat system has now become optional. You just need to learn how to use the new way forward, Bitcoin in self-custody. And doesn't matter what these people say or do, like put them in that your rear view mirror. They're like, you know, this fly that buzzes in the background that you can completely and utterly ignore. And if they become a real big headache where you're living, leave. There are other jurisdictions that are open and embracing smart and intelligent people, you know, on a regular basis now.
Yeah, I like the way you frame that too, is that these folks have never had competition. I mean, since the inception of central banking until 2009, they never had competition. And for the first time, it's heating up to the point that they recognize that Bitcoin is competition and they're looking to clamp down before enough people wake up. Unfortunately, I think that while another COVID style event, we'd have many more people who are awake to what's going on in that sort of scenario. What they do is they kind of like move from one thing to another. So it was the pandemic one time, and now it's, you know, a new currency. A lot of people aren't going to draw the correlation between government control during COVID, government control of, you know, a CBDC because they're just used to the government controlling the money anyway. Hopefully, though, we've woken enough people up that we have this, I think what Corey Clipston calls the intransigent minority of people to really make the effort, really give us some more legs and wake people up, especially in the European Union, where this seems something akin to imminent. Greer, what would you say about this?
Yeah, she says that they're rapidly establishing a legislative framework. So that to me says they know time is of the essence. I'm thinking about the back half of this year, knowing that Bitcoin has historically moved to all-time highs, increases in price, and every time that happens, it brings more people to Bitcoin. So I think we're watching a race play out. You know, they introduced this idea back in 2020, and they've been working on it for some time, and we know that they're hiding behind the fact that it will be private. It won't be private. They will be able to block you from purchasing Bitcoin from a Bitcoin exchange if this becomes your digital native currency. So I think we're looking at a race, obviously, between the central bank and inevitability. They know Bitcoin's coming, and this fourth quarter will probably attract more users than it ever has.
Love to hear it. All righty. The Rage says they got a scoop. U.S. government is trying to bring the Patriot Act to digital assets. FinCEN director reveals Treasury is finalizing a ban on privacy tools. Greer, I think you dug into this a little bit more than I have. Why don't you give a quick rundown what you think the implications are, and then we can bat it around.
Yeah, while we're busy talking about the Knot's core debate, which is very important, this is another one that we have to start bringing more light to. We don't want the government putting a ban on software. We've seen how that's worked for them. It doesn't work. Software is free speech. Code is speech. You cannot stop Bitcoin. When you hold Bitcoin in self-custody, what are you really doing? You're memorizing 24 words. They're going to ban you from being able to memorize words. This is ridiculous. To me, this is something that we need to raise the signal on this. The Patriot Act did not work well. It did not have the intended consequences that the lawmakers who wrote it had. I mean, it has been a huge invasion of privacy. And I think this is only a broad sweeping plan to really stop all of the activity within Bitcoin and even other public blockchains. So I'm not confident on the outcome on this. And I think we need to bring more awareness to this issue. It is very serious.
Absolutely. Tony, do you have anything you want to add there?
Yeah, no, nothing really furthermore to add other than the fact that if you thought that the EU hates its people, well, I mean, I guess the US government doesn't like you that much either, right? If they're trying to, you know, implement all of these things. But again, what they're trying to do here really does not matter because it cannot work. The only hope in hell they have is to convince enough people that this actually works and that they actually have the power to enforce this. They can't. This is like almost as silly as saying, okay, well, you know what? You're not allowed to be in sunshine, you know, past certain hours. We're going to dictate, you know, when you can and cannot be, you know, under the sun. That's how stupid something like this sounds. They tried to ban file sharing with music, movies, and software. How well did that go? Complete disaster, right? Because you cannot do it. It's technically impossible. So now you're dealing with peer-to-peer money. And the tools around this are exploding. And the more they try to clamp down on it, the more they're going to incentivize these tools to get better and better just to give them the middle finger and to carry on as if these people don't exist. Because again, them too, they find themselves in a position where they don't matter. They are completely optional as well. It doesn't matter that they're their global reserve, that they've been the global reserve for the past God knows how many decades. As of 2008, everything changed. This entire cartel, this entire organization, this entire system has become optional. And the more people become aware of this, the faster it dies. It becomes like completely irrelevant. So don't let this fear-mongering sway you. Understand what the technology is. Learn how to use it. And you don't have to worry about anybody's, you know, narratives.
Well said. I love it. Alrighty, we've got this guy, Chris Guida. I don't know how to say his last name. So he's sounds like he's been kind of going back and forth, playing devil's advocate on the Knot's core debate. And he poses some really good questions here. So he asks, first and foremost, is the pull request trying to solve a problem. And then he says, on a scale from 1 to 10, how bad is the problem that it's trying to solve? And then number 3, how much of a problem is the current mutiny against CORE on a scale of 1 to 10? And he raises a good point. He says, if your answer to number 2 is much lower, so if the answer to number 2, how bad is the problem they're trying to fix, is much lower than your answer to number 3, how big of a problem is this the rebellion against CORE, then that is precisely what I meant by the rationale is not adequate. And I think that is a really good way of framing it. My sense at this point, I'll just say, is that the Knott's CORE debate is one of, I think, Greer, you called it sort of like we've entered like the social realm, and it has a lot more to do with less to do with stopping spam. Filters are effective in certain cases. Certainly every time you mine a block that has been, the filters have worked getting the transactions to, awesome. That doesn't happen every time, right? But at the end of the day, the question for me comes down to one of governance. And it is evident in my view that the core developers have completely gone rogue and that they have nothing resembling consensus amongst Bitcoiners to be doing what they're doing, particularly as the reference implementation of the Bitcoin software. That is where I give someone like Luke, who I know a lot of people don't like, I give him a lot of leniency because he does not he did not develop the reference implementation. He's developing an alternative that people can completely opt into, opt out of. You can do the same with CORE, but it tends to be a default that people would run. So I like the way he frames this. Greer, I'd said a lot already. Why don't you tell me what you were thinking when we were talking about this?
Yeah, to me, this is part of the cultural movement now. And it didn't have to be this way. I think it was a very technical argument. But this gives people who don't like what CORE is doing, they don't like being ignored, they don't like being laughed at, they don't like being doxxed or shut down. To me, this is the response. It's running Knott's from a moral perspective. I think you said what you needed to say on a technical layer, but this gives Bitcoiners something to do. You know, we've purchased Bitcoin, we've held it, we've bought stuff with Bitcoin in some instances. I know I have. But choosing Knott's versus CORE, and frankly, I didn't want to be in this position. You know, I want to run CORE, but they've given us no choice. Like, we have to run Knott's. And we're doing it now as a signal. It might not be the perfect solution, and maybe it doesn't settle all the problems. I've even seen arguments that if CORE really wanted to fix something, they should go back and repair the Taproot exploit that brought in the runes and the ordinals and all that. Like, there are other things that could be the focus, but unfortunately, they've woken up a lot of people who, once you see the arguments on both sides, it's very hard to stay neutral on this. And so I think this is, it's encouraging to see that Knott's is, I think as of this morning, around 21% and growing as a part of the network. And I imagine that that will continue as this gets released in the next couple of weeks.
And I'm proud to say that we work for a company that I think is probably having a material impact on that growth in Knott's adoption, because we are spinning up nodes for clients every day. And by we, I mean, we are helping our clients run their own nodes, teaching them how to do it the right way. Tony, what would you add to that?
Well, not much, man, other than just to alleviate any concerns anyone has, as this potentially a threat to Bitcoin. No, it's not. There's no existential threat to Bitcoin, because the consensus comes from the proof of work and not the mempool policy. So as long as the miners and full nodes agree on the chain with the most work, Bitcoin will always survive. And clearly there's enough people out there that, you know, want Bitcoin to win versus those that want to destroy it for whatever stupid reasons they have. So as long as that's the case, TikTok, next block, the future is very orange, and I'm still extremely bullish and excited about it.
Agree. But let's send a message. Let's let CORE know to quit screwing around. Enough of that. The other observation I would make, and I tweeted this morning, is it seems to me like all the people who are talking about running Knott's in favor of that are like the most toxic monetary maximalist Bitcoiners out there. And the people who are talking and screeching, in my opinion, in many cases about CORE, are like publicly shitcoiners as well. Like they have Bitcoin, or maybe they have Bitcoin, I don't know, but they support Ethereum on their platforms, or clearly not monetary maximalists. They want JPEGs on the chain. They're selling basically NFTs. is what it comes down to. So, you know, evaluate that for what it's worth. Make your decision. And in our view, run knots. A blast, gentlemen. So this is just kind of a cool story. So Pete Davidson, Casey Affleck team up with Doug Liman, Lemon, I don't know, on a Bitcoin thriller film, Killing Satoshi. And sounds like this gentleman is something of a crypto Bitcoin guy. But it's cool to see this hit in the mainstream, that people are going to, you know, show up to see famous people in a movie about Bitcoin and about Satoshi. God only knows what, you know, what the storyline is going to be and what the, you know, the sort of the social narrative that they're going to make is. But fun to see that people are going to have like a form of entertainment that, you know, coincides with our world. Tony, do you you excited for this? You going to watch it?
Yeah, of course I'm going to watch it, man. There's no such thing as, you know, bad advertising for Bitcoin. I mean, unless you're living in a cave or under a rock, you've heard that term before, right? So Bitcoin is not going anywhere. It's going to infiltrate everybody's lives in a very, very positive way. You know, some people sooner than others, but, you know, at some point, you know, the whole world will, you know, hopefully adopt a Bitcoin standard, because that's the only real way to upgrade your life.
I love it. Greer, are you excited for this one? I think they said it comes out next year.
Yeah, I am. You know, as someone who's read probably 80% of the nonfiction books on Bitcoin and, of course, watched all of the great thinkers over the last 5 years, I'm excited for something that's a little more fiction. And I, you know, I think just from the title alone, this is going to be a hypothetical scenario, but I think this is great. You know, more art, more culture, more people getting involved. And I think ultimately it does point them to, you know, curiosity in Bitcoin. But this is a good thing. I think that it'll be exciting to see. Hopefully it's not terrible. You know, hopefully it's a great movie we can enjoy. And you know, that's what I'll be waiting for.
Yeah, I think you guys know I hate movies. Maybe this is one that my wife will be able to convince me to watch. But we'll see. Time will tell. Alrighty, guys. Great chatting with you. For everyone who tuned in, we really appreciate you being here. Do me a favor, sit around for another minute, listen to a bit about the Bitcoin way. Go check out shopbirdflip.com. You can buy Greer's gear there. Very cool stuff. Awesome hats, shirts, hoodies, great things. And guys, till next time, have a good weekend. We will catch up next week.
Thanks, guys. Talk soon.
Cheers. Hey there, thank you for tuning into Bitcoin Banter. Wanted to take a quick minute to remind you to head on over to thebitcoinway.com/podcast to schedule a free 30-minute consultation with a member of our team. It is critical that you take full control of your wealth, and we can equip you with the skills needed to take 100% self-custody of your Bitcoin. For our existing clients, we also offer our Bitcoin Bootcamp, where we will conduct quarterly calls with you to reinforce the training we've provided and fill any gaps in your knowledge. While you're at it, ask about our solo mining service, something we think everybody should be doing. We also help with addressing your personal and online cybersecurity, and we can even help you set up a privacy phone free of big tech and Big Brother surveillance. Don't underestimate the amount of tracking taking place in your browser and in the apps you use every day. And finally, whether you're ready to make a move to a freedom-loving paradise or want to back up in the event of a worst-case scenario, be sure to ask about our Plan B residency program. Being untethered from a single location is one of the best ways to ensure your self-sovereignty into the future. Again, you can schedule a free consultation at thebitcoinway.com/podcast. If you are enjoying the show, please do me a favor, subscribe to our channel wherever you listen, give us a 5-star review, and drop us a comment. We would really appreciate it, and it makes it easier for others to begin finding us as we preach the gospel of financial self-sovereignty and beyond. Thank you again for listening. Until next time, stay safe, stay sovereign, and remember, the yield on Bitcoin is freedom.